Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. I hope the day has gotten off to a beautiful start for you. And if in your part of the world it's the early morning, or it's already like in my part of the world, the second part of the day, I hope that you've been having a good day nonetheless. That it has been a day where you've reflected and you've acknowledged the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Now I know we all have those days which are so crazy busy, days where the hours just seem to be flying by, and when we next look at the clock or the watch, we realize, where has that day gone to? And I think if you're one of those people today, I invite you just to take a moment and to press pause on this rat race of life. Just pause for a moment, take a deep breath and reflect on one blessing that Allah has put in your life today. Think of just one blessing that you have in your life today. And give thanks to it. Give thanks for it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A warm welcome to this morning's program and Jazakumullah khairan for joining us for another live edition of Living the Legacy. We're into our sixth year of this program, and each week a different theme, a new outlook on how you and I can live a legacy, what it is that we can do to ensure that we are living our potential, that we're living up to the mission and the vision for which Allah has created us for, that we're using talent, ability, resource, skill sets that Allah has blessed us with to improve ourselves and to improve the condition of the Ummah and of humanity at large. How can we do what's best with our resources available to serve our deen? And that's what the program is all about. We explore ways and means on how you can live your legacy. And one day, inshallah, Allah willing, leave that legacy behind. My name is Rayhana Omar, and it's wonderful having you joining us via the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah. You, our listeners, are a great, tremendous blessing to us all, no matter which part of the world or part of South Africa that you're listening in to from. Alhamdulillah. Today, I'll be sharing with you some gentle reminders of how best to deal with life's challenges and Quranic verses that uplift your tired heart. And as part of our weekly life project, to live by the Sunnah, which we began last week, called Embracing the Sunnah, today we review the Sunnah associated to using the bathroom. So if you're new to the program, or you perhaps missed out on last week's program, which is up as podcast, by the way, Last Tuesday, we began a new series where we talked about how to deal with life lessons. That each of us are presented with life lessons throughout our lifespan. Whether we live for 20, 40, 60 or 100 years, we each are given life lessons that we're meant to learn from, that we're meant to extract lessons from and wisdom that's meant and to serve us in becoming better servants of Allah, to teach us life lessons. And what we will be doing is looking at the Quran first and foremost, at ayat, and also the ahadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and extracting from there life lessons for the mu'min. And we're going to look at, you know, dealing with practical emotions, practical mindsets, how we feel generally day to day. We, as much as we would like to, don't all wake up every day from the right side of the bed. We don't always wake up in a happy mood or in a grateful mood or in a joyous mood. Sometimes we have to recalibrate. We may wake up feeling grumpy, tired, moody, irritable, sad, lonely, helpless, and that is a reality. But there are solutions, and those solutions come to us from the best of sources, the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's exactly what we're doing every Tuesday, looking at the primary sources of our guidance, our inspiration and wisdom on how we can better ourselves, on how we can handle this journey called life, dunya, the temporary abode. And then our second segment is also a brand new outlook. It's about embracing the prophetic lifestyle, and we've entitled it Embracing the Sunnah. Each week, I'll share with you one motivating point or factor on why you and I should be living the prophetic way and making that our legacy. I'll remind you and myself, sharing with us, how living the prophetic lifestyle can help us to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to welcome in more blessings, more barakah into our lives, and help us lead more fulfilling, happier, simpler, and less complicated lives, inshallah. And we'll do that by reminding ourselves of some basic points on sunnah of different aspects of our lives. Last week, we discussed the sunnah of waking up. What do you do? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do when he woke up from sleep? Today we move in natural progression of life circle. We move into the next section, and that would be, what are the sunnah associated to using the bathroom? And it's important for us to recap, whether we're young or old, whether we've been teaching this to our own children and students, we need to remind ourselves every so often, because this is not just information to pass an exam or to appease our conscience. This is valuable knowledge that we need to be living every single day. Sometimes we get so lost in theory and in everything else that we forget the basics. And we all need those reminders. I need them. And I'm sure you do too as well. So a very warm welcome to today's program, which promises to be uplifting and full of beneficial reminders for each one of us. Ahlan wa sahlan, and I hope that today's program will help you to live your legacy. As always, I ask the question, and I hope you're asking yourself this question each day. What legacy am I going to live today? What legacy am I going to live today? Now, when it comes to life lessons for the mu'min, life lessons for the believer, in last week's program, we spoke about how we should be reacting as Muslims, as believers, when things in life are easygoing, are smooth sailing, when life is pretty much peachy, happy, and rose-tinted. And we all have those moments at some time in our lives, because we live in the cyclical existence on earth. So just as you will witness day, you will witness night. As you witness summer, you will witness winter. As you witness good health, you may witness either ill health or a weakening or decline of health to some extent. As you witness success, you may and victory, you may witness defeat. As you witness property or wealth or acquisition, you may also in some form witness loss of either property, acquisition, a loss of human life, etc. So that is life itself. It is a cycle, and we're meant to experience the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, the easy and the difficult, so that we can appreciate each phase in our lives. We also discussed what to do when life is not good, when things are not going good, when waking up can be challenging and difficult because it's another day with all of those problems and challenges. We discussed this in last Tuesday's program, and the podcast is up on radioislam.org.za. Look for under podcast search for Hafidha Rehana, and you'll be able to find it there, inshallah. On today's program, inshallah, moving forward, upward and onward, we're going to be looking at other aspects of the life cycle and how to deal with it. And what are the life lessons that Quran and Sunnah teach us? Today on the program, inshallah, we're going to learn on what you and I should be doing when Allah tests our iman. And we know that our iman can be tested in many ways. And two of the main ways that people's iman, people's faith is tested, both in the present day and age as well as in the past, has been through health and wealth. And for that we turn to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us exactly this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we are tested in this way by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah 6, verse 42, tells us exactly this, of how we are tested. In Surah Al-An'am, the chapter of the cattle, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد أرسلنا إلى أمم من قبلك فأخذناهم بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يتضرعون. And we have already sent, meaning messengers, to nations before you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then we seized them بالبأساء والضراء, with poverty and hardship, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, that perhaps they might humble themselves to us. So Surah 6 verse 42 translates as, and we have already sent messengers to nations before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we seized them with poverty and hardship, that perhaps they might humble themselves to us. Now, it's a well-known fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the faith of Muslims by taking away their wealth or their health, or by threatening to take it away. But as we see in this verse, verse 42 of Surah 6, that if we pass the test, our faith will be stronger than it was at the beginning of the test, or even before the test. So the first thing that I want to go over with you today on the topic is everyday examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us choose between our faith and our wealth, and how more often than not, as insan, we make the wrong decision. So for example, let's start at a young age. Now, the testing begins at a very early age. So you give the cashier a 10 rand or $10 note, and he gives you change from a 20, and you make a split decision to keep it or to leave it. And as you grow older, you are forced to choose between taking and giving interest in your dealings with the bank and other institutions, and so it continues. So what I'm going to share with you are just, you know, sample types of questions, right, in the test of life. But it's important that we know the answers for questions like these when they come up in our lives. Like if someone were to ask you, should I take simple interest on my savings account? Do you know the answer as a believer? Should I gamble or take a bet with others, even though I think it's harmless? If I'm selling a product to someone and I know there's one defect in that product, should I really tell that person because it won't really matter to the end quality? Well, we all know the answer. No, no, and no. No, I should not take interest. No, I should not bet or gamble. No, I shouldn't be dishonest when disclosing a fault of any product. So I think we all get the point. It's important that we realize the answer to all these three questions were an emphatic no. I want us also to remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is going to test the believers with the fear of poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually means what He says. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises in the Quran are true and they are not altered ever. But I also want us to remember the fact that the test of life is hard to pass and that it requires real sacrifice. Because by definition, the tests of life are going to be hard. They do require sacrifice. They do require tough decisions that you have to make. And sometimes those decisions are painful. Sometimes they're decisions we don't want to have to make in life, but we do. Because they're all part of the test to Allah. It's not just the test itself, it's how we respond to the test in life. It's the choices we make and how we react to those choices as well and those decisions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us all. If you are facing a test of any sort in your life right now, I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your test an easy one. That Allah grants you the guidance and insight to pass the test of your life. That He helps you overcome the burdens and the hurdles and the challenges that you face. And that whatever you're going through now, you realize it is a test from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing, all knowing, all hearing, and all aware. And that He's seeing and hearing and all knowledgeable, all aware of what you're going through, because He has put you in this test. And He's also very aware of how you are going to react to the test. Allah already knows. It is for you to learn that life lesson. So whatever you're going through in your life right now, take a moment to just pause, to reflect, to take a quiet moment and ask yourself, what are the life lessons that Allah is teaching me in my test of life right now? What are the life lessons Allah wants me to learn from this? What is Allah teaching me through this challenge in my life? Through this difficulty, through this problem? Sometimes it's one lesson, but more often than not, it's many little lessons put together that help us grow and to grow beautifully as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I like to think of it that every test we go through in life is actually removing one of those iron rings or shackles to the dunya. Whether we realize it or not, most of the tests we go through, if not all of them in this dunya, have something to do with attachment to dunya, or the people, or places, or memories, or something of dunya. And it's because we are unable to let go, or detach, or see beyond the facade of dunya, that we get hurt so badly, and that we find the test so difficult, or that we start questioning and questioning our faith. The moment we can try and remove ourselves and detach ever so slightly, we start seeing the light, and we start in a very small way trying to comprehend and realize the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His grand plan for us. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 10 Central African Time. You are listening to Living the Legacy on Radio Islam. We're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, look forward to our summary of the segment and have pen and paper at hand or have a memo page open. I'll be sharing with you some uplifting, comforting ayat of the Quran that can help you through some of the roughest moments in your life. More after this break. Stay with us. Much of the challenges or much of the heartache we experience is actually based on our attachment to the dunya. That's our point of reflection that I left you with just before the break. What I'm going to look at now and share with you as we've been talking about how to deal with life when you're presented with challenges of health and wealth, and put into perspective. So I'm not giving you a solution that when you experience a health problem, this is A, B, and C, how you should deal with it, because everyone's situation is so different from the next. But what to do when Allah tests your iman with your health or with your wealth. And we went to an ayah of the Quran. The reference is Surah 6, verse 42, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He sent messengers, alayhimu salam, to many nations before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized them. Very powerful description. He seized them with extreme poverty. Right, or loss in wealth and loss in health, so with calamities. And why? The Quran outlines why they've been tested with extreme poverty and ill health, so that لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that they might humble themselves, so that they might believe with humility. And humility is a beautiful thing, because it is the first stepping stone to submission, you know, complete, absolute sweet surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're being tested with your health or your wealth, draw strength and comfort, knowing that the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers alayhi wasalam, were tested as well. And as they were tested with health and wealth, it was a way and a means for them and the righteous people of their times and nations to humble themselves before Allah, and that humbleness and humility draws on surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, when you're being tested with your health or your wealth, and maybe it's not your health that where you've fallen ill, and maybe you're fine financially, but someone close to you and you're being impacted or affected by them, then the thing we need to ask ourselves is, what are the lessons that we can learn? Even if you're the secondary person, so it's not you, but it's your parents or your spouse or siblings or best friend, what are the lessons that you can learn from this test in life? And are you using the lessons learned to grow as a person, to grow as a believer, for what we call spiritual growth? Is it drawing you closer to Allah, making you more aware of the greatness of your Lord, allowing you to immerse yourself in more worship to Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear listener, will test your faith throughout your life, using your health and your wealth. The one piece of advice that I can give you is to be prepared. Be prepared for Allah to test you. And that when He tests you, try your best to be patient. And remember that the very nature of this life, of the dunya, is cyclical. It's like a roller coaster. One day you're up high, next minute down at the bottom, turning circles again. That's life. So, like a roller coaster, you're at the bottom, next minute you're high on top again, back down at the bottom. That's life. And the sooner we acknowledge that this dunya is not meant to be perfect, that it's a teaching and a testing and a learning ground for us, that it's a way to work through the battlefield of the ego and the soul, the sooner we can submit to what the real purpose of this life is. Some of us have become so caught up in this life being so perfect and being so, you know, being the be-all and end-all, that this is what we're meant for, this dunya. And that's why we get so obsessed and so disillusioned when things don't work out. Because we're expecting this life to be perfect when it can never be so. We're expecting this life to be smooth sailing all the time, and it can never be so. But that's not to say that we need to live in this, you know, self-pitiful state that it's always going to be tough, or it's always going to be hard. No, there are going to be joyful, happy moments. Definitely, we've seen it. Each of us, alhamdulillah. So when those moments come, appreciate and enjoy them and acknowledge them and thank Allah for them. And when those tough moments come, then also thank Him for them and reflect on what the lessons are that we need to learn from it. So when we're going through rough times in life, human beings do many different things on how to find comfort. And many of those pursuits lead to unhealthy addictions. As believers, we've been gifted with the perfect resources of how to deal with life's challenges, where and how to find comfort. And that could be from reading the Qur'an, listening to the Qur'an, making dhikr, praying salah, fasting. So together with that, I want to expand on the Qur'an, because reading and listening to the Qur'an are highly soothing and extremely healing. So I want to share with you some references. So if you're ready to note this or jot this down, these are some surahs and verses that are very, very comforting. Ready? Okay, the first is Surah Alam Nashrah, also known as Surah Inshirah or Surah Ash-Sharh. Surah 94, verses 1 to 8. And within this Surah 94, the most inspirational verses 5 and 6. So we're talking about inspiring, comforting and uplifting verses of the Qur'an when you're going through a rough patch in life. Surah Alam Nashrah, also known as Surah Inshirah, Surah Ash-Sharh. So that is Surah 94, verses 5 and 6. Then, Surah Al-Hijr. Surah Al-Hijr. H-I-J-R, spelt in English. That is Surah 15, 1-5. Verses 45 until 49. Then, Surah Baqarah. That is Surah 2, verse 233. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, so again in Surah 2, verse 214. And finally, Surah Al-Ankabut, that is Surah 29, verse 2 to 3. I'll share that with you once more, but this time round I want to share with you why I find these verses comforting or uplifting. So I first mentioned Surah 94, and particularly in the Surah verses 5 to 6. These verses are just pure inspiration, subhanallah. Then I mentioned Surah Al-Hijr, that is Surah 15, 1-5, verses 45 to 49. And I shared these verses as being so comforting because they give you motivation for not losing faith during those very testing, trying times in life. Then I mentioned Surah 2, verse 233. Because in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that He tests you because He knows you can handle the test. Then I mentioned that another one in Surah 2, another one in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 214. What is so uplifting about this verse? Well, it's Allah's message to you telling you that whatever tough time you're going through in life, it is all part of the test. Just make sure that you don't give up. Do not give up. Because Allah's help is on the way. And that help may not be in the package or the form that you want it in, but in the package or form that Allah believes is best for you. And the final reference was Surah 29, verse 2 to 3. Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 2 to 3. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, you know, it's like you as a person saying, can anyone hear me? I'm going through a test. Can Allah hear me? Ya Allah, can you hear me? I'm going through this test. And Allah is telling you, this is a test. That's all it is. And you will be tested. So yes, you will be tested. Now it's up to you to pass the test. So before we go for our last break of the hour and move into our next segment, I'll go through once again the surah reference for you to write down, or verses of the Quran that inspire, uplift and comfort our tired hearts during difficult moments. Surah 94, verse 5 and 6. Surah 15, that is Surah 15, verses 45 to 49. Surah 2, verse 233 and verse 214. And Surah 29, verses 2 to 3. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who turn to these ayat of the Quran. How do we turn to them? You can simply place markers there in a translation of the Quran, and that will give you a form of comfort. But ideally, make some time, sit with a scholar in your area, in your local madrasa, masjid, maktab, that can share with you the tafsir of these ayat. And inshallah, when you have a better understanding of what this really means, it will provide you with true comfort, inshallah. So that's a bit of homework for you. As always on the program, I give you the starting point, I give you the stepping stones, and I expect you to take it further from here. There's only so much we can do in 1 hour. I expect you to take the program and own it and make it your program and work on it. Do something beyond this to create the changes you've always wanted. So these ayat can be very comforting just by reading the translation, yes. But by sitting down with a scholar, male or female scholar in your area, taking out time over a few days and just going through with that teacher, what is the exact tafsir of these ayat will give you tremendous comfort, inshallah, when you understand more about what it means. Join us next week when we talk about your actions versus shaitan's desires. For now, our last ad break of the hour. On the other side of this, let's get ready to embrace the sunnah. Stay with us. Today on the program, I'm asking the question, which verses of the Quran comfort and uplift you? I'll be tweeting the verses that I shared before the break with the hashtag via Twitter, hashtag Living the Legacy. I'd love to know from you as well. You can tweet it with the hashtag Living the Legacy, or you could WhatsApp it to +61 3260 8592, or you could email it to Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. My question to you today, which verses of the Quran comfort and uplift you during trying or difficult times? You can also follow the hashtag Living the Legacy as we continue updating and live tweeting key summaries and main points of today's program. We have just under 10 minutes remaining of this hour, and we're going to use every moment as best we can, inshallah. It draws us or takes us to our last segment of the hour, and we said that parts of us living a legacy means that we ensure we are making the best of every moment, and that we're trying our very best at all times to live by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many people I know who've passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the marhumeen maghfira, nur in their qubur, and jannah al-firdaws. Ameen. And the legacy they've left is a legacy from the prophetic way. Perhaps that the way they ate was the sunnah way, or the way they slept was the way that the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would retire to bed, or the way they smiled, or walked, or got dressed, or the way they spoke to people. I'm sure we each can think of someone in our lives who we've lost, and when we reflect and we remember this person, we remember the legacies they've left behind. And if those legacies were based and nurtured by prophetic love and the prophetic example, then subhanAllah, what greater legacy could there be, right? So first we're going to motivate ourselves, once again, on the need for us to learn the prophetic way and to keep practicing the sunnah. It's a lifelong goal. It's a life project that we need to be working on. That each day we need to ask ourselves, am I doing enough to follow the prophetic lifestyle, to embrace it, to make it my lifestyle? The issue is today we all want to follow different types of lifestyles, whatever is the latest in magazines and online. But what about the prophetic lifestyle? Because that is a timeless lifestyle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'la, that you prefer the worldly life. وَلِلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, that while the hereafter is better and more enduring. Surah Al-A'la, verses 16 and 17. So the sunnah, and here I'm talking about words and actions and deeds and habits and speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we apply it, alhamdulillah, we're rewarded and our lives are blessed. And if we don't live by the prophetic example, we won't be punished. But if we start applying the sunnah and making it our lifestyle, we will notice that barakah in our lives. We will notice the happiness and the joy and the ease and simplicity it brings, and the way it uncomplicates life completely. Alhamdulillah. And when we look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize how easy it is. It doesn't. We don't need to be going out of our way to do it. Actually, makes us realize how older habits are much more tedious, and how the sunnah is simple, so refreshing and non-complicated. And isn't that the lifestyle we all are searching for today? Of course. I want to remind myself and yourself that when we start applying the prophetic way of life and owning it and making it our lifestyle, it helps us to reach the rank of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It helps us to compensate any shortage in our dini duties, and it helps us to honor and preserve a way of life that is timeless, that is pure, and that is approved and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now last week, Tuesday, we spoke about the sunan of waking up, and today the sunnas of entering and coming out or leaving the bathroom. So the first point is to enter the bathroom with the left legged foot and exit with the right foot. So enter the bathroom with the left foot and exit with the right foot. When you enter, just before you enter, you say the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, meaning I take refuge with Allah from the impurities, from the jinn, the male and the females. And this dua is easily available in all the dua books that the madrasas, the maktabs use, and you'd find it at all Islamic bookstores online. The dua before entering the bathroom, to recite that. And to leave the bathroom, once you've left the bathroom, immediately to recite the dua on exiting, and we say khufranak. And that's narrated in all the books of the Sunan except An-Nasa'i. So we say Khufranak, and the lengthier dua, Ghufranak, Alhamdulillahi Ladhi, Azhaba Anni Al-Adha Wa'athani. And again, we go to the bathroom a number of times each day, in the morning, during the day, in the evenings, so we do go to the bathroom a number of times. Imagine the reward you and I will get each time we apply this, these sunan, these three steps. Again, the sunnah of using the bathroom, enter with the left foot, leave with the right foot, read the dua before entering, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, and read the dua on exiting from the bathroom, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني العذى وآثاني. So three simple sunan that we can all apply: entering the bathroom with the left foot, exiting with the right foot, read the dua on entering the bathroom, and read the dua on leaving the bathroom. Alhamdulillah. Simple, easy, to the point, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Ameen. Let's turn to your messages, and the first message we're going to read comes to us from Sister Ruqayya. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wonderful program as always, really learning a lot, plenty of reminders for us all. The ayat that you shared was so beautiful. Jazakumullah for your time and patience in reading them all out slowly so that we can all write it down. I'll definitely be bookmarking them. The next, Jazakumullah khairan, my sister. The next message comes to us from Sister Asia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah for a lovely program and for giving us courage and inspiration. The times that we live in are very difficult. It is not easy to bring up our children. Life is not easy. Finances are tough. And often we lose hope, but your program has given us hope. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feek. You're most welcome, my sister. Alhamdulillah, that has given you courage, it's given you strength. The next message is from Sister Aisha. It says, Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, your program was so inspiring. I am experiencing an immense challenge with one of my children, and your reminder has reinforced my hope and comforted my anxiety. She said that she reads Rabbana hablana, and then waslihli fi dhurriyyati till there, abundantly, as well as Surah Taghabun and Surah Luqman for wisdom. Definitely, these are very, very powerful to recite, especially Surah Luqman, where we can draw wisdom from the messages. Alhamdulillah. The next message, and that will be the last one before we conclude for today's program, comes to us from Sister Bilqis. Says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Really enjoying your program today. It's given me a lot of comfort. I've just completed my last chemo and hoping that this is the last of it and that I don't need to go back from it. Make dua that my tests are clear after this. I'm also in the process of moving house, so all of this put together gives me a lot of stress and I worry a lot about the future. Your program was comforting and I look forward to listening to the recording later today. Jazakumullah khairan, my sister, and we ask Allah to heal you completely, that when you go back to your doctor, your tests are all clear, inshallah, and that your moving process is easy, and Allah blesses you with khair throughout. Ameen. Whatever hardship, whatever difficulty you're going through, I ask that Allah eases your heart and comforts you and consoles you during your time and hour of need. Allah is always with us. Until we meet again on Thursday at 2 p.m. Jazakumullah for listening in, for sharing your contributions. Have yourself a beautiful rest of the day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.